Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting in for the rest of the band. Today, I'd like to welcome Susie Vargas to El Paso Primetime. She's the Associate Director of Programs at the Alzheimer's Association here in El Paso. Susie, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for inviting us.
Susie, once upon a time, about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now, Glenn Campbell recorded his last album. It was titled Ghost on the Canvas. Was finally released August 30th, 2011. The reason he did that is because he was having problems remembering lyrics up on stage when he was diagnosed with early onset of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it was like, okay, time to record this album while I can and then go out and be a proponent for Alzheimer's research. A year later, we would have that same problem with Pat Summitt, mm-hmm. who stepped down, a legendary women's basketball coach from Tennessee, and she steps down because of early onset of Alzheimer's. So I guess for our listening audience, it's a mysterious disease that we need to get a handle on in just regular terms.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's very important to get an early diagnosis. Alzheimer's is affecting so many people. More than 5 million people in the United States is affected by Alzheimer's disease. Every 68 seconds, someone is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So it's very important that we start talking about it, that we advocate for those living with a disease and advocate and talk to Congress and talk to our representatives to keep funding going, because there's so many treatment out in the horizon that are very promising, and that we could find a cure. I mean, so it is very important to get diagnosed, to start talking to the doctors, to just find out. You know, sometimes we do forget simple things, you know, but those simple things, if we forget those constantly, that could turn into a problem.
And I think that's what actually kind of confuses some people. There's the everyday, oh, gee, I forgot where I put my keys. And it strikes me that on the one hand, you could just chalk it up to, oh, I'm just tired. But on the other hand, if it's a chronic thing, then it might be the onset.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
What is the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's, or is it one in the same, or does one lead to the other?
Dementia is just like when we talk about cancer.
Okay.
Okay, cancer is the main name of other types of cancers.
Okay.
Dementia is just the main name, is the umbrella of other types of dementias. And the one that is more common that is affecting 60% of people is Alzheimer's. The other types of dementia are like vascular dementia, Parkinson's disease, mm-hmm. Lewy body disease. So those are the other type of dementias. Okay, but that's when we talk about dementia, it's just the general term for a group of brain disorders.
Okay.
I should say. And again, Alzheimer's is under the umbrella, and is the one that is affecting more people.
When one takes a family member for an early diagnosis, or at least for a look-see, an overview, what happens? How is that test conducted somewhat so that people will understand, you know, how it's done, so that they don't worry about it?
Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to a doctor, we highly recommend that we visit a specialist. And those specialists, doctors that have experience with the disease and with persons with Alzheimer's, are the neurologists. So when you go in and visit a neurologist, they're going to do several tests. They do blood work, they do MRI, CT scan. a mini mental examination. It's 30 questions. It's a questionnaire. 30 questions that are so, so simple, like what is the day, today's date? Who is the president now? You know, questions like that. But when someone is having problems with their memory due to Alzheimer's, it's so difficult for them to answer those simple questions. All those items are to rule out other factors.
Okay.
There's so many things that could cause memory loss, diabetes, problems with cholesterol, depression. There's so many people out there that, and I consider myself one of them, that we are taking different type of medications. Well, sometimes medication can also cause memory loss. Why? Because there comes a point that they stop working properly, and then there comes the side effects. So it's important that we have a very good relationship with our doctors, primary doctors, specialists, and just to make sure, you know, that we are in communication with them and that we are reporting to them what's happening, you know, on a daily basis. We recommend also before going to the neurologist that you put write down the things that you're noticing, or write down the things that you're noticing in your loved one who might be having that memory loss. Write down things that happen, you know, on a daily basis. He or she asked me 100 times if I had closed the garage door. You know, she asked me that in a period of time of 15 minutes. She asked me like 20 times. You know, things like that. Just write it down. Write down the things that happen, what time of the day. What happened before the incident happened? Who was there visiting, or where was the person? You know, all those things are a lot of good information for the doctors to be able to diagnose someone with Alzheimer's.
Okay, which leads me to another question: if a person starts imagining things, then that's not dementia, but that could be another, like a psychological problem, a psychiatric problem.
It could be. The thing is also that persons with the disease can also start hallucinating, or you know, seeing or talking to people that are already dead.
Okay.
So those things can be caused because of the disease, the progression of the disease. But it could also be caused by the treatment that they might be taking. There might be taking some type of treatments that are not working properly together.
Right.
And so evaluation is very important. The evaluation is very important. And there's treatment that for Alzheimer's disease that can calm down those behaviors, those type of behaviors are treatable. So if we see our loved ones that are going through difficult behaviors such as hallucination or being aggressive and things like that, then, you know, we need to call the doctor. We need to take them in, do an evaluation, and, you know, if there's something that they can give them to stop those behaviors, let's do it.
Okay. One of the things that you mentioned just now is diabetes, and I had no idea that diabetes and its treatment with the insulin and whatnot could actually mimic a form of that.
That's correct. And Alzheimer's and diabetes are very there's a link in between them. But
okay.
Yes, absolutely, the insulin can. It's like it works like an inflammatory, and so it could help.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Alzheimer's Association itself and all of the services that you have. I think a lot of people sometimes feel overwhelmed by the term itself, Alzheimer's, and they're kind of afraid to walk into the doors of the Alzheimer's Association here on North Mesa because they don't know. let's alleviate some of that stress and anxiety today.
Absolutely. It is a very frightening disease. It is very scary. My mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at age 60. She started with symptoms at age 50, and we didn't know about it. And so that's why, like I was mentioning before, that early detection is so important, because there's been a lot of misdiagnosis, mm-hmm. Or they've been diagnosed people with depression. And so they go years treating those people for depression, and then it turns that it's more than that. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So it is very important, and we cannot be scared, even though it's a very scary disease, but we need to start talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Our culture, there's a lot of stigma in our community. There's a lot of denial in our community. And like you said, you know, people don't even want to see the office, the Alzheimer's Association office. Well, when we go to health fairs, I mean, nobody wants to stop at our table. Nobody wants to take information. But it is so important because, again, it's not necessarily have to be Alzheimer's. It could be something else that could be treatable,
mm-hmm.
and we need to know about. So the Alzheimer's Association is here to help advance research, to advocate for those living with Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
and to enhance care and support in our communities. So, you know, don't be scared. If there's a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, then the education is very important. Getting involved is very important.
How early should people be aware of Alzheimer's? Are we talking going all the way into like high schools and universities, or even further into middle schools and junior high schools and all that? Are we talking about that kind of education so that people are totally aware of it?
It's important because even going into elementary schools, I done a lot of presentations for elementary schools, and we get invited to a lot of their health fairs also. I mean, you know, we need to know that there's grandparents taking care of their grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kids needs to know about Alzheimer's, because if they live with grandma, grandpa, and they might be having memory problems, then, the kids needs to know what the symptoms are. How they need to learn about it. They need to learn to, you know, what to do in case that grandma goes to the store and then they don't come back. So, you know, it's important that we educate everybody in our community about Alzheimer's.
Susie Vargas is our guest today on El Paso Primetime. And we're talking about an important topic that everyone should be hip on. I mean, let's face it. We all know pretty much how to deal with cancer. We all pretty much know how to deal with diabetes. But we're frightened every time someone mentions Alzheimer's in our own families. Susie, one of the things that I guess for those who've just tuned in, they're going to ask about the memory thing, the memory loss. What's normal? What's not normal?
Okay. When we get when we pick up the car keys, what are the keys for? If you wake up in the morning, if you go to the bathroom to brush your teeth and you pick up the toothbrush and you start combing your hair, that is not normal.
Right.
Okay. It's not normal to put your wristwatch inside of a sugar bowl, to put your shoes inside of the oven or in the refrigerator, the car keys in the refrigerator. So those are not normal things. We all forget where we put the keys when we get home.
Uh-huh.
But we have the ability to turn back and find our keys, get to where we left the keys when we got home. People with Alzheimer's, they don't have the ability to take steps back. So if they put the car keys inside of the refrigerator, later they won't remember that they put them there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not normal to not know what a pen is for.
Okay.
So, you know, we know. I mean, we get a pen and we start writing with it. We get our toothbrush to, you know, brush our teeth in the morning. But if we start doing the opposite, you know, brushing our hair with our toothbrush, not knowing what a pen is for or the car keys are for, then that's a red flag.
And it sounds very extreme, and yet those are realistic. Those are everyday symptoms that happens with an Alzheimer's patient.
Get lost in familiar places.
Mm-hmm.
My mom used to go to Walgreens on a daily basis, and then all of a sudden she didn't know how to get there and how to come back. So, you know, a lot of people also, they lose a sense of time. So, you know, there's different things that you can tell when someone is having memory problems.
Okay. When you go to the ALZ.org website, one of the things that you're able to do is you're able to download a number of articles, including this enormous 71-page thing called the 2013 Alzheimer's Disease Facts and Figures. And on the front page, something that just blew me away, out-of-pocket expenses for long-distance caregivers are nearly twice as much as local caregivers. How come?
You know, we need to find the cure. Again, we need funding. We need to talk to our Congress. We need for them to, I mean, this disease, if we don't find a cure, it's going to bankrupt our system.
Mm-hmm.
So we need money. We need to invest in research. And, you know, it's just so expensive to have someone either at a nursing facility.
Mm-hmm.
Or even at home. I mean, it's
quite pricey.
It's quite pricey, exactly. So,
for our listeners, you'll need to go to the perspectives section of KTEP.org in order to download or listen to an interview Louis Science had with Dr. Donald Moss about his new book, Alzheimer's, My Journey to a Next Generation Treatment. And it's quite telling because what he's talking about could revolutionize the business, could actually help your parent, your loved one, but there's no funding.
That's correct. Yes. And so, you know, that's what we need. We need for, you know, our government to keep providing that funding to hopefully find a cure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new treatments, very promising. The other thing is that we need volunteers. We need a lot of volunteers that can participate in those clinical trials. If there's no participation on clinical trials, then that's another problem. We could never find the right treatment.
So if a person feels as though they might be able to volunteer for that clinical trial, what do they have to do to contact you?
They can call a 1-800 number. There's a 1-800 number where it's our 24/7-day-a-week helpline. It's 1-800-272-3900. And there's information also on ALZ.org/trial match. Trial Match is the name of our service, clinical trial service. Anybody can participate, volunteer, healthy volunteers at any age. They can take part of in any studies specifically for caregivers. So, you know, just call the 1-800 number, just come and visit our office and we can give you that information. We can sign you up and, so they can have, you know, so we can have their information and find them the right, clinical study where they can participate in. We can connect those individuals to the clinical trials.
It is an amazing statistic that one in three seniors dies with Alzheimer's or another dementia. It's just incredible statistic, and it can be stemmed. It can actually, the tide can be turned, but it does need funding. Now, one of the things that Alzheimer's Association does, not only with awareness in that vein, trying to advocate towards the policymakers in Washington and on the state level as well, you also do outreach in the community, which also includes a September event that you have coming up.
That's correct. We have our Walk to End Alzheimer's is the nation's largest event to raise awareness and funds for Alzheimer's care support and research. Our Walk to End Alzheimer's, it happens every year. This year is on Saturday, September 28th at La Viña Winery at La Unión, New Mexico. And it's a fun event. We want our community to join us. We want people that have loved ones with Alzheimer's or they have lost someone with Alzheimer's to come and enjoy and join us on September 28th. It's a fundraising event again to raise awareness, funds, and for research. And it starts at 10 a.m. It's free of charge. We do accept donations. We want people to put their teams together in order for them to help us raise funds. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. They can go to our website and register it and start their own team. So it's for everybody, not just families that have been touched by the disease, but big corporations. Everybody can put a team together and start helping, raise funding for
it. Makes a lot of sense. How do they sign up for this walk?
They can visit our office. We're located at 4687 North Mesa, Suite 200. We can provide them with a packet of information. They can go to ALC.org and look for the Walk to End Alzheimer's in their area. Mm-hmm. And also, they can go straight to www.act.alc.org/El Paso, Texas. It will take them directly to the walk website, local.
We've spent practically the half hour talking about Alzheimer's and all of the things, and we've yet to even scratch the surface about this. Because one of the things I think one of our, I know that our listeners would be interested in caregiving, the various stages of caregiving, mm-hmm. So many things to talk about. Care information by stages. I mean, really and truly, what does that all entail?
The education for caregivers is important, especially when they have their loved ones at home. The Alzheimer's Association has so many services. I mean, our website is just filled with information, online services, and trainings. There's a training, a Living with Alzheimer's training for caregivers. And the Living with Alzheimer's training is an extensive training, and it's breaking down in different parts. But it covers early, middle, and late stages of the disease. And it also includes a class that talks about legal and financial planning, okay, because that's also very important.
That is.
So right now we are locally in El Paso, we are offering this training year-round. And we are in partnering with Bien Vivir All Inclusive Senior Health Services. We are hosting these trainings at their facility on McKinley. And every month we cover a different topic. Okay. So in May we're going to start with early stage. So there's three parts of the series, of the early stage. Mm-hmm. There's three parts that we broke down every week, every Wednesday. We're going to have this the early stage training. But, you know, they can call our office. We have our calendar of events that is available electronically. They can go to our website and download all that information. Our support groups are very important. Also, we want caregivers to join our support groups. They need to have time to, it will be like therapy for them. It will be some type of respite care. They need an hour to get away, you know, from their caregiving.
The caregiving regimen, sure.
Right, and be able to talk to other people, be able to go vent, to go share their own experience with other families and learn from each other. So we do have different support groups in different areas of El Paso, and we have a support group especially for early stage persons with the disease in the early stages of the disease. They can also come in and do activities or take part in different activities and social, you know, be social,
right.
And be keep active and motivative.
Mm-hmm. With all that's offered with the Alzheimer's Association and all that's built into the disease itself, I'd like to extend to you the invitation, an open invitation, anytime that you want to come back and talk more about this and talk about these support groups, bring folks in from these support groups to talk about their experiences. We'd love to have you.
That would be wonderful. Thank you. Absolutely. And we're happy to come back. And that's one of the things that we need to do. You know, awareness is so important. And if you give us the opportunity to, you know, to come in and raise awareness through this wonderful program, you're from KTEP. I mean, it's one of the things that we need to be doing.
It's mi casa, su casa, as I put
Muchas
it.
Muchas gracias.
We've been talking to Susie Vargas. She's the Associate Director of Programs for the Alzheimer's Association here in El Paso. Suite 200 at 4687 North Mesa is the address. And one basic number to be able to call you?
Please. Write the 1-800 number down. It's the 24/7 day a week helpline. It's 1-800-272-3900. It's a great service. They can call it anytime. Every time they dial this number, they'll have a clinician answering their phones and helping them with whatever issue they might have. So please keep that number close to you.
Will do. Again, mi casa, su casa. Susie, thank you so much for joining us on El Paso Primetime.
Un placer, gracias.
Susie Vargas is the Communications and Program Director at the Alzheimer's Association here in El Paso. It's also important to note that the El Paso office serves not only the city, but also the county, as well as Hudspeth and Culbertson counties, and lends assistance to southern New Mexico as well. So if you need further information, go to alz.org/El Paso for lots of vital information so that you become informed and you're empowered should you become a caregiver, and even more so should you be diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's or dementia. El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP, all rights reserved 2013 by the University of Texas at El Paso, the UT Board of Regents, and KTEP. Stay tuned. Up next, it's Louis Signs and Perspectives. And tune in again next Saturday at 1 for another edition of El Paso Primetime on KTEP. Have a great weekend.